My thought tonight is the thief cometh. And I want to say I appreciate tonight that the Lord's good to us. And I am thankful for the riches of God. I'm thankful for everything that He does. I'm thankful for everything that He's done. I'm thankful tonight that the Lord was willing to take me and my nothingness. When I brought Him ashes, He gave me beauty. He traded me a worthless life for a good life. I'm thankful for the peace that I have in my soul tonight. I'll be honest with you, as the storms roll over out here in Oklahoma, they're awesome. They can be fearful. But down inside is a peace that storms don't bother. There's always an assurance in my heart of a God on His throne. There's always a hope. When things are dark, I hope for the dawn. And it's a bright hope. When things are discouraging, I can always hope for a better time, a better day. It's always there in Christ, something better. I thank the Lord tonight that He took the makeup of who I was and changed it. He made it possible for me to live with my wife when I wouldn't have had the capability. He done something that gave me a riches. I'm not rich in this world, but I'm rich tonight. I've got things that's more valuable than a collective effort here could buy with all your money. There's something that's more valuable to me than all that. Give me neither riches nor poverty, the writer said. But that which is convenient, I'll take the convenient thing from the Lord. Lord, give me what works for me. And that's rich to me. And I got a richness in my life that's not bought by the things of this world. It isn't made up by those things, but it's valuable. The scripture says the things that are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And I've got some eternal riches that I'm thankful for tonight. But I want to tell you, those things are precious. They're precious. You know, I can trust tonight. And there was a time that I couldn't. I remember the time in my life that I looked around and said there was nobody on this earth that I trusted. Nobody. And you know why I didn't trust them? Because I thought everybody was like me. That's really why I couldn't trust anybody. Because there wasn't something in me that wasn't trustworthy, and I projected it on everybody. You can't really trust people, I thought. You know, tonight, I can trust. You know why? Because I project the Lord's experience onto you. And know you can be trusted. I've got something tonight that's valuable. Very valuable to me. But my thought is, the thief cometh. See, there's a thief. And he wants what you've got tonight. He's trying to steal from you. Now, several years ago, when I first got out of school, I went and got a job at Snowshoe Ski Resort. And I got a winter job there, and several of my friends did. And there was one of my friends, his name was Jeff. Now, Jeff was a lighthearted, good-natured young man, and we had a lot of fun together. And he had a system worked out. We was in the housekeeping department, And I was van driver most of the time, and they'd have a houseboy that'd go along, and then we had the housekeeping crew that would drive along in the van, and we'd take them to the different places, cleaning units, and those kind of things. He had this system. Because sometimes we'd go into maid service. Sometimes the rooms was empty, but a lot of times it was maid service. And we'd go in and do the maid service of the room. Well, a lot of people would leave their change laying around on the tables and here and there, and they wouldn't be there. And my friend had a system. He told me he never stole it all. If it was a handful of change, he would take a nickel, a dime, a quarter. But he would always leave enough there that didn't make it look like anybody would be there. And in the process of the day of going change here, a little bit there, he had rattle. He'd have a lot of change in his pocket. And he was stealing along the way, but never enough to make somebody really suspicious, because you'd think somebody'd steal it, they'd steal it all. But he would take a little bit at a time. Just a little bit here, a little bit there, taking just a little bit to not really make any suspicion happen. Now, it's interchangeable, of course, but a thief and a robber generally looked at it two different things. A robber will brace you blatantly. He'll pull a gun on you. He'll club you over the head. A robber does it that way. But a thief, generally looked at, is someone that's subtle. He works undercover, by the sly, tries to stay unnoticeable. You never see him. He's the one that sneaks through the window at night. Or he's the one that slips a hand into a pocket. He's the one that takes a little change off the counter. The one that's in and out is a thief. Folks, a thief cometh tonight, and he's after your valuable things. And he's going to do it in a subtle way. He's going to do it in a way that you're not really noticing what he's trying to get. The devil, it doesn't really care so much, I don't believe. You know, the devil is a total destroyer. Listen, that's his nature. God wants us to be in his image. Remember this. God is working that we be in the image of His Son. He plants those seeds. He works to that direction. The devil works. He wants children too. He wants you to be a child in the image, His image. He wants you in His image. He wants to totally destroy you. People say, well, the devil's got him so he leaves them alone. I think that's impossible. The devil is always trying to make you the purest form of himself. He wants to totally corrupt everything about you. Jesus said to Peter that Satan has a desire to sift you as wheat. Sift all the good out. Leave nothing but chaff in the container. Nothing good, nothing valuable. He don't quit till the last of the wheat's gone. He doesn't want anything left. He wants to steal everything that's any good in your life. He's out to steal that. And he'll do it in any way that he can. And his best tactic is subtlety. It's by just getting a little from you at a time. Until it becomes unnoticeable even to take it away. I read a story that touched me. I've told it many times. But it touched me, and I have a burden this way anyway. For our young people, not just for our young people, but for young people. Because I see in my mind, as the years go by, I for some reason I think about it especially in the spring, and I'm not sure totally why, but I think about many times that there is more young people coming up to age this year that's going to make decisions. They're going to lose their innocency. They're going to lose valuable things. There's going to be a thief that's going to steal from them as they come up. And they're making those decisions of life that every year, I think there's a rolling, every year it happens, every time, comes to eight, makes decisions, and oh, how bad those decisions are. The story went something like this. It was a true story. There was a young lady. They're just freshman in high school. She made straight A's. She was a real good student. She'd done some extra curricular things at school. She was a very good child. And her mom and dad was very proud of her. And she fell for a senior. She fell for him. Well, you know, love. It's very persuasive. It makes things happen. It did with this young girl. She got eyes for this young man. Naturally, she had wanted to impress him. Naturally. Well, there was an event where she was at the park. There was several young people around, and this man was there, and this young girl, probably 14. And they're all at the park, and the young man that was she was liking pulls out some marijuana and introduces, "Hey, we're gonna smoke some marijuana." And she said, "No, I don't do that." "Well, what's wrong with you? What? It's harmless. Everybody's doing it. Goody two shoes." All the pressures that was on that. And in time, I don't believe it was that day the story went, but in time, she didn't like being excluded. She liked this man, and this young man, and he looked at her kind of in a bad way. She wanted to impress him. So she began to just take a little. A nickel worth. Maybe a dime. Then a quarter. Just a little bit of it to be acceptable. Acceptable. The thief cometh. To rob. To steal. To take something valuable away. She had no idea what she was doing. I don't believe she had any. The scripture, in a different context, but the scripture said in one place that if the goodman of the house had known at what hour the thief cometh, he wouldn't have allowed his house to be broken into. I'm here tonight with a burden to say that the thief cometh. Beware of the valuable things, because that's what he's after. And he knows how to get them. This young woman gave in a little. By the next year, her sophomore year, this young girl was way from that point. Way away from it. She began to do more and more marijuana. But marijuana only goes so far. Her grades started tanking. She wasn't keeping up with her schoolwork. So she had to try to do something to cover it. So she started changing her report cards. She started trying to cover that there was anything going on with her parents that they didn't notice anything. And so as it went on and on, by the time she's a junior, some 2 years later, she's totally in trouble now. Her grades are totally failing now in school. She doesn't have any desire for the things that she used to. She's lying to her parents regularly. She's sneaking out the window at nights now. She's moving away. Now it's not a nickel, a dime, a quarter. Now it's going into bigger time. More and more was being taken from her. Now she's lost her integrity, her dignity, her peace, her innocency. It got so far that she was addicted now. They got a hold one night, they got a hold of some drugs that was bad. This young woman did these drugs, and her body went to convulsing. She began to lose consciousness. She fell out on the floor in an abandoned house with her friends that were there with her. And they all run. They saw how tragic it was, and one of them called the authorities, called for help, and all of them run because they were doing such bad things. They got there and got this young woman and took her and tried to help her and took her to the hospital I don't know what the end of this story was, because they didn't tell it. Because the end of it hadn't happened yet. They only told it up to the point that her mom and dad, listen to me, young people. Friends are gone. Everybody's gone. Guess who's sitting there? The one that really loved her is still there, holding her hand. The end of the story ended with a weeping mother saying that they were going to love her and do everything they could do to get back what she lost. I don't know if that ever happened or not, because the end of it was she was still pretty well gone there in the hospital room, best my memory was. But the thief cometh to steal from you, to take away the valuable things that you have, that we have. This is what the devil really wants to do. And I want us to understand that it's more than an isolated thing. The devil wants to rob your capacity. Not just the thing and it blossoms back. But he wants to rob the capacity that you have to live a normal, holy, decent, upstanding, honorable life. He wants to rob the capacity to do that. So he's looking for more. He's taking away. Young men, listen to me tonight. The devil wants to rob your capacity to have a good marriage. He wants to rob the capacity that you have to see a woman in a holy, decent way in marriage. He wants to rob that. He wants to take it from your mind and plant in there through the filthiness and the corruption of this world. He wants to take that stuff that's promoted out there and he wants to corrupt your mind and take away the capacity to have the right kind of a marriage. To look at your wife in a holy way, a right way, an honorable way, and bring her down to nothing more than a fleshly object. He wants to rob that from your minds, the decency. It's dangerous, folks. It's dangerous to play with it. It needs to be rebuked from the start. Because the thief cometh tonight. Do you know that I know women that look at all men as bad because of what the devil has done in their life? They project on every man that they're bad. All men are bad. I'm going to tell you tonight, the devil robbed something from them sisters, from them women. All men aren't bad. But they see it through something that the devil stole from them. And took away the capacity to trust. Do you know that the devil wants to steal away the capacity to submit ourselves to authority? The devil comes in with the abuse of authorities and all these things, and it will cause people to totally mistrust authority. And the devil robs. The devil wants to rob you tonight. He's a thief. In John 10, I'm going to get my scripture. Ten of John says, "The thief cometh not." This, of course, in the way the King James is written, but this could easily just be said, "The thief cometh to steal, to kill, and destroy." That's the only thing he comes for. That's the reason that he come. But listen to what the Lord said. "I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." An abundant of life. The devil wants to rob your hope tonight. He wants to steal away your capacity to hope. The devil wants to steal away tonight. He wants to steal your praise off your lips. He wants to destroy your capacity to praise. To make you like you don't have anything to praise for. Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise Him, all ye people. For His merciful kindness is great towards us. And the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Oh, praise the Lord. But the devil will steal the praise right out of your mouth. He'll steal the thanksgiving right out of your heart. Not only that, but he wants to steal the capacity to do it. Take away the reason you do it. The idea of doing it. Taking people's thankfulness away and making them miserable. Lord, help us tonight to not allow the devil to steal the things from us. For the thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and destroy. I don't like a thief. I don't have much to steal. But there's a subtle way of trying to steal from us. I got a phone call one time. And the guy told me that he was going to send me $200 in gas cards. Well, I thought, this is my day. That sounds good. So I said, well, send them on. Well, we'll just do that. But in order to do it, you'll need to pay $3.95 to get it done. Well, I'm no rocket science. And I definitely am not always the sharpest knife in the drawer. But I know this. You don't give somebody $200 and make them pay $3.95 for it. I knew there was a thief lurking somewhere. So I said, well, I'll tell you what you do. They said, in order to do this, you need to give us your credit card number. And we'll take $3.95. And then we can send you the $200. Sounds like a good deal. So I said, well, okay, if you're going to give me $200 worth of gas cards, I'll tell you what you do. Just give me $196.05 and take the $3.95 out of it and we'll be squared. Well, that wouldn't work. And there was a reason it wouldn't work is because there was something behind that. And folks, listen, when you start smelling something, when you start when you see things, it's not, now that don't look right. It's because it's not right. And that's the same way, folks, it is when it comes to the more valuable things, the precious things of our life. The devil wants to steal those things from you, and he's going to make you think you're benefiting by doing it. He's going to try to come and trade you his goods and make you feel like you're coming out on the better end of it, and you're not going to come out on the better end of it. Now, me and a couple of brothers was talking early about gambling. I'm going to tell you something about gambling that you already know. That isn't nothing but a racket. It's a thief in the lurch. It's something that isn't good for you. If you won, it wouldn't be good for you. And you ain't likely to. You're going to lose both ways. But if you was to win money, it'd still be bad for you. It's a lose-lose proposition all the way around. It's just a bad idea. But it's promoted all the time. I see the billboards. You know what it is? It's always some nice-looking people and always got a handful of money. That's what this is. It's almost saying you come and you'll have money. And not only that, look at the fun they're having. It's always about fun and it's always about having money and winning and doing those things. The reality of it is there's a lot of children going to go hungry because they got robbed. They got robbed, but they get robbed, folks, by more than just the money that the dad spent or lost in gambling. They lose the capacity to trust. The thief steals from the children the capacity to see God in the right way because the very role model that they have of a father never takes care of them, never nurses, never is one that gathers them in, and they lose the capacity to even understand or see God in a good way because he's out to steal from you. Those things are wrong. Brother Sammons used to say it always. They always had this good-looking cowboy called the Marlboro Man. Now, I don't guess he's out there anymore. But he used to be out there on the billboards advertising a smoking habit. That's a thief. That's going to rob you of your health It's going to rob you of a lot of things, but it was always depicted by a good-looking cowboy. It didn't show the ventilator. It didn't show somebody that was lungs was eat out with cancer. It didn't show those things. Folks, the devil's not going to come and show you those pictures tonight. Young people, he's not going to show you the end of the story. He's not going to see you laying in the hospital brain numb. He's not going to show you the end of a bad marriage that was caused by a long time ago, a nickel and a dime and a quarter taken out of your life. The integrity that's lost, the decency that's lost, the ability to see it for what it really is, stolen. He's not going to show that. He's going to show fun and excitement. He's going to show a good time. There used to be in my day, I remember the young people in my day making comments. There used to be a song out there, AC/DC. I never liked that stuff when I was in the world. Too bangy for me. Too much metal, they call it. I never did like it, but I heard it. Hell's Bells was one of the songs, and every time somebody would give that, this is true. Every time somebody would give their soul to the devil in them concerts, they'd ring the bell. That was what the whole thing was about. And there was I think one of them even said, "You're going to go to hell so you can be with your friends." Folks, you ain't going to have friends down there. That's robbing the integrity. That's robbing of the very mind that there's a God and justice. It's robbing out of the people's hearts. You see what I'm saying? There's a thief that's going to come. And he's going to, by subtlety of music and of what you watch and of the things that you do, going to rob something from you. He's going to rob the valuable things, the precious things. They're going to be robbed out of your life. I'd like to look at another scripture. Over in 2 Samuel. The first chapter. In the 17th verse, it says, "And David lamented with this lamentation over Saul and over Jonathan his son. Also he bade them teach the children of Judah the use of the bow. Behold, it is written in the book of Jasher, the beauty of Israel is slain upon the high places. How are the mighty fallen?" And I think of this very touching place that David was in. David, I think, looked at this whole thing. The mighty King Saul. It was his king. And what must have transpired in his life? The Israelites wanted a king. It wasn't really what the Lord wanted. Remember the prophet weeping and crying and saying about that? And the Lord said, they haven't rejected you, but they've rejected me. But he gave them the desire of their heart. He gave them a king. He went and found him a king, a humble man. A head above, shoulders above the rest of them, but a humble man. And he found him King Saul. And he anointed him first king of Israel. That was an honorable place to go down in the books, wasn't it? First king. Been really good if the end of the story would have been that king was an honorable man and that he had trusted the Lord and that he had lived for God. That wasn't the way he ended his life. He was nickeled and dimed right on out. Began to do things that because he could. His heart began to be pulled away from the things of God and he began to fight against God. Here was the story of a man that fought against God and lost. You always will. You'll never win. And David laments it and of his son Jonathan that went along with him too. And I'm going to tell you tonight, folks, the decisions you make to allow the thief to come in and start to rob and to nickel and dime you and to steal off and you'll affect your children with it. It's impossible that it's not that way. It's got to be that way. What you choose and bring into the umbrella of your life is going to affect those that are around it. It's just the way it is. You want that for your children? That's the way to do it. What he steals from you, he steals from them. And he makes the inability. You don't have the capacity anymore once it's stolen away. Jonathan was... David loved Jonathan. What a love that they had. A great friendship they had together. Very important. He loved them so much. But King Saul had brought something into that when he began to disobey God and began to take his own way. And now he ain't the humble man anymore. And now he's got the inability, so much so, the end of Saul's life after being anointed king. After being a man that sought after God's wish and will and things. He no longer could find God. He did not have the capacity anymore to go to the prophets. He didn't have any more capacity to find God. So what did he do? He went to a witch. He went to the witch of Endor to conjure up Samuel. I need an answer and I don't know how to get it. He lost the capacity. Stolen. Stolen out of his life was the capacity to find God. We've seen that right among us. We've seen those that have sat among our services. We've seen those that have come to the altars. I've seen many young people. I've been among the saints 26 years now, and I've seen generations come. I've seen young people that are a long, long, long ways away now, and I wonder if there's any capacity left. I wonder just how far they went, and I've seen them come, and I've seen them go. And I've seen the devil nickel and dime them at the beginning, and then before long takes it all away till they have no ability anymore to have faith in God. To have faith. Folks, the things that come into our life is never meant by God to destroy our faith, but to build it. When we give to the Lord and say yes to His will, then those things will build our faith. But when we reject those things, it'll tear down faith. I knew a man one time that told me, it was a sad thing to say, he said, I once had such a faith. And he said, now I have no faith at all. And I know the very things that he went through was the very things I went through. And I said at the end of them, my faith has been restored. My faith has been lifted up. I have more. It was bad. It looked like it. Not evil, but bad things. Things you wouldn't want. But they come into your life and I went through them and I saw God as real. And through them all. And so I was able to say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I know that you're real. You've come through again and again. In one of my hardest times, I told the Lord, Lord, if you don't help me, I'm at my wit's end, and if you don't help me, I can't do it. And I begged the Lord. I know right where I was standing when I was crying and begging. The Lord, help me because I can't stand no more. I'm at my wit's end. And the Lord, it was like heaven opened on my soul. He didn't change the circumstances, but He sure made me to know that there is a grace to go through it with. And it helped my faith, but at the same time, there was another that lost his faith over it. Lord, help us. The thief cometh. He cometh. And he's after you tonight. He wants to steal away your ability to look your fellow man in the eye. I would say old Saul would have had a hard time looking David in the eye after he chased him all over the place trying to kill him against the will of God. And hated him and was after him, it'd be hard to look him in there. And God and the devil intends to steal your ability to look people in the eye. I've told this many times, but it comes back to my mind of a man that I sold a car to. He come by and wanted the car, and it was an old car. And I said, well, I'd like to have $400 for it. Well, he said, well, I'll take the car, but would you... Can I pay you some now and some later? So he paid me $225 and said, can I pay you the rest at payday? And I get paid Friday. And I'm like, oh, well, I don't know. I guess so. Well, Friday, he didn't pay me. And then the next Friday, he didn't pay me, and he never come back to pay me. But so happens one morning, early in the morning, I go into a Go-Mart store, and he's right in front of me in the line. Right in front of me. Now, this is going to be interesting. Well, when he turned around, he turned right into my face. He said, but he dropped his head. He couldn't look me in the eye. He dropped his head and he said, I'm going to pay you payday. He said, I'll pay you payday. Well, I really needed that $175. I wasn't relinquishing it. I said, okay, pay me Friday. Okay, pay me Friday. Well, he didn't pay me Friday. But you know, I ended up writing behind him again. And he turned back around again. And there I was again. Same situation. Now, I'm going to pay you, he said. I'm going to pay you. And he went away again. Well, by this time, you can imagine I'm pretty skeptical about that whole thing. I said, okay, pay me. I need it. Yeah, I'll pay you. Okay, I'll pay you. You know what started happening, though? The thief cometh. The thief cometh to me. And he started making me have feelings. Tempting me with feelings towards this guy owes me $175. And he needs to pay it. And so all those feelings start coming. And I don't like those feelings. Because I've had peace in my heart. And I've had peace with everybody. And I didn't like these feelings that was coming on me like that. So I had to deal with it. But I don't owe him. He owes me. I was looking him in the eye if I could. But he wouldn't look me in the eye. You know what I had to do? I went and started praying about it. And you know what the Lord told me to do? You want victory? You want victory? I'll tell you what to do. I don't want to hear this one. Yeah, I do. Lord, what is it? Forgive him. But my $175. That's cheap. The devil was trying to steal something from me. And so, you know, I ended up a third time behind this guy. That's the Lord. I needed one more time. I didn't have a fourth, but I had a third. And when he turned the next time, he started to say, and I said, listen, forget it. You're forgiven. Go ahead. And you know what? I'm going to tell you. I walked out of that store. I think I walked. I got it back. I got it back. What I got it back from forgiving him. And the Lord brought my mind to that where Stephen said, don't hold it. Lord, don't hold it to their charge. Don't hold it against them. And you know that's what gave me the victory there that day, because I realized that I honestly said in my heart, Lord, if that's the only thing that that man does that would keep him out of the heaven for my sake, would you forgive him? And I could honestly say that, and you know what? The $175 hadn't meant much in life at all to me. But the devil wanted to steal more than just my peace. He wanted to take away my capacity to deal with people the right way. He wanted to make in there my inability to ever trust anybody to pay me again. He wanted to do more. He wanted to steal something that I need in life. I need to be able to trust you. I need to have something more in my life. And the devil tries to take that away from every one of us. And it starts as little children, building up many times. It starts young, and the devil's trying to steal, and he's coming to your house. Parents, he's coming to your house. And he's going to try to use you to rob something precious from your children to give them an inability to have the right kind of marriage, the right kind of faith, the right kind of hope. He's going to take something from them because they don't see something that's right. And children, young people, listen to me. He wants to bring the kind of indifference. You know what the devil wants to steal? He wants to steal our passion. He wants to take away our passion, the inability to have passion. He wants to take away our fire for the Lord. He wants to steal that from us. The capacity to have fire. You know how he does that? He gets a little seed in there of something that you know ain't right. Well, now you're going to have passion to the Lord. When you replace the Lord with an idol of sort. Or an affection that you got on something. The Lord, he knows how to take it. It's a replacement deal. And he'll use worldly music. He'll use sports. He'll use television. He'll use video. He'll use something to put in there as an affection, a desire. And it robs the passion from that person. And it takes away the ability to have it. Listen to the writing here. I'm going to go to the 21st verse. Ye mountains of Gilboa, Let there be no dew, neither let there be rain upon you, nor fields of offerings. For there the shield of the mighty is vilely cast away, and the shield of Saul, as though he had not been anointed with oil. From the blood of the slain, from the fat of the mighty, the bow of Jonathan turned not back, and the sword of Saul returned not empty. Saul and Jonathan were lovely and pleasant in their lives. And in their death they were not divided. They were swifter than eagles. They were stronger than lions. You daughters of Israel, weep over Saul, who clothed you in scarlet, with other delights, who put on ointments of gold upon your apparel. How are the mighty fallen in the midst of the battle? O Jonathan, thou wast slain in thy high places. I am distressed for thee, my brother Jonathan. Very pleasant hast thou been unto me. Thy love to me was wonderful, passing the love of a woman. How are the mighty fallen? And the weapons of war perish. I'm going to tell you, I believe if you could get the essence of that, you would weep the way David was weeping when he wrote that. What a sad case of a man that should have been everything. That a man that God's hand was on, anointed and approved of God to accomplish and to be and to be blessed and to bless others. And he failed in his mission. He allowed the old enemy of his soul to steal it away. And he's fallen. He's fallen. Oh, how the mighty are fallen. What a sad, sad case of the great potential that he had and resorted down to nothing. So tonight, no doubt in our land, there are many people robbed that had such great potential. The very plan of God for their lives was mercy and love and integrity and honor and of good to have a loving marriage and a loving family and to make a difference in the community and to be able to reach a hand and to love and to pull somebody out of the mud somewhere. And what plan that they had. Oh, how the mighty are fallen down to a disgrace. It touches our heart to think. I wonder how many young people are laying in a hospital bed tonight, incapacitated. I wonder how many more are on the verge of the first joint, the first drink. Lord, help us tonight. Choose the way of the Lord. I'm going to go back and finish where I started there in John. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and destroy. I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. That's what God desires of our life. And He desires to show us the way. There was in history, I think about World War II. I've enjoyed looking into the history of World War II. Now that it's many years later, it's easy to look back and see things that wasn't so easily seen. But you know, World War II, by the historians' accounts, if you'll take away any providence that was involved in it, there was a lot of ways that it could have been avoided. There was other nations, but Germany particularly, Hitler rose up with an ambition to do what he was doing. But the German people didn't have that ambition. They didn't want a war like that. The generals actually didn't want a war like that. But because the Allies were passive, because they wouldn't deal with it, Winston Churchill told them, if you don't deal with him in his weakness, you'll definitely deal with him in his strength. Deal with it now, when it's a nickel and dime. Or you're going to deal with it when it's a big thing. And the truth of it was, as history looks back at it, if the Allies had done the proper things at the time, the German people wouldn't have allowed it to happen themselves. The generals themselves was looking for a way at the beginning to unseat Hitler, that he didn't get him into a big war. But because there was no backbone, nobody stood up. Nobody would say no. He ended up just sending people into Austria to kind of politically take over it. So their first move of land that they took was simply political. They simply just marched into Austria. There wasn't a gun fired. But nobody said anything about it much. Well, we don't want to get anything going, so let's not do it. So in a little while, they said there's a bunch of Germans in Czechoslovakia that the Czechs ain't treating them real good, and we want them a part of Greater Germany, so you either let us have them, or we're going to have war. So they all got together and said, well, let's not have war. Let's just give them. We heard today about paying tribute. That's what they was doing with land. They was just giving into that, and they knew little. Some knew. There were some people that had read the book that he wrote, and his book had already explained how he was going to do it all. You know, the book already tells us. Do you know that's already foretold about these things? All we got to do is follow. They took Czechoslovakia, and there wasn't a shot fired. Just gave in to them. And there come a time, and do you know what they did? You know what they did? They got stronger by what they gave them to them. I'm going to tell you, that's the way the devil does. He's going to take what you got and use it against you. We had in service today, Brother Dan, morning service, was talking about Sennacherib and how that Hezekiah had given over about $90 million in today's terms. What do you think Sennacherib did with that money? He armed himself and footed the bill to go and attack. That's what he was going to do with it. I'm going to tell you, what you give to he was right, you can't appease it. Folks, you got to deal with it. He'll take the very things that he robs from you to use against you at a greater attack. More and more as he weakens you, the more he'll use what you have against yourself over and over again. Lord, help us today. My grandmother said one time to an uncle of mine, my uncle said to my grandmother and said, Mom, you can't tell me that drinking one beer is bad for you. And my grandmother said, well, maybe not. But I never saw anybody drink two before they drank one. It's been a philosophy of mine that's the way things work. If you don't start, you don't have to end. If you don't have one, you'll never get to two. You'll never go the progression. If you don't let the devil buy with a nickel, he'll never get a quarter from you. If you don't let it start, you won't lose it. Folks, keep your integrity. Keep your honor. Keep the good things of God, the treasures, the riches of God's salvation. Keep it in your heart. Value those things. And you won't be, don't let him have the little that. Keep a conviction in your life. Where it's weak, ask the Lord to strengthen it. Ask the Lord to strengthen those places. If you don't understand things, ask the Lord to show you. Brother Sammons used to say, always give the Lord the benefit of the doubt. If you're serious, give him the benefit of the doubt. When you don't know, go hard on the Lord's side, not on your own wayside. And you'll be safe there. But the thief cometh tonight and he wants to rob from every one of us. But the Lord said here in this scripture, but I come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. And I want to say in closing, I appreciate very much, very, very much the good things of the Lord, the valuable things. And I want a strength to be able to hold those things. The end story of my friend Jeff was that at 21 years old, he got cancer. And he gave his heart to the Lord until they told him he was in remission. And then he went back to nickel and diming. I remember when he went back to drinking because the doctors had said he really shouldn't do that, that his system was low, he shouldn't do certain things. And some of my friends said about Jeff, said that he's going right back to what he'd done before. Oh, he did. He started partying. He started doing those things again. And within about 6 months, there was another report. Jeff, your cancer's back. I'm pretty sure he died before his 22nd birthday. It's a sad account to me. I hope he found. I have no way of knowing what he did, of course. But there were some things robbed and stolen out of his life. And there's no doubt about it. He's after you tonight. He's after you. But the Lord came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. I like life. You pray for me.